Our scripture reading today is concerning Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is one of my favorite people in the whole world. I mean, I like you all real well. Now don't get that. That sounded really wrong. But you know, Don Rickman will tell you how the cow ate the cabbage in about 2 minutes. And that's what I love about him. And he's going to bring a word. Don is a retired, did y'all know that? He's a retired United Methodist clergy. Some of you knew it, some of you didn't. This is our second United Methodist clergy who's leaving us. I mean, leaving town. To go somewhere else and be a missionary. So don't get excited. He's not done, neither is Barb McKenzie. They're just going somewhere else to be a missionary. I'm grateful for their witness in our community. Amen. Don Rickman.
I first want to thank Marcia for the privilege of speaking with you this morning. Nancy and I are moving to Branson, and this will be our last Sunday to share with you. And you have been a very welcoming and caring congregation. I particularly have enjoyed the different missions that I've served, United Methodist Men, the Care Center. We've done Thanksgiving dinner, Sunday school. We had a grief group. And Marcia asked me if we was going to do another grief group. Well, I'm not, because I'm not going to be here. But I think there's a need for it. But I just want to say thank you to all of you, and God bless you. This morning, I want to say a few words about the Holy Spirit and our relationship with Jesus. And I'm hoping that some of you in the congregation need to hear this message this morning. I've changed it every day of this week. And I was sitting there in the pew and making some more changes. But I'd like to have a prayer first. Heavenly Father, as this person gets to speak your word to this congregation, may it be your words and your message to these loving people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I picked John because I love the Gospel of John. It makes you think. If you just read it, you're missing the point. It makes you think about the words that he wrote. And it has different and deep meaning. It starts right off with a confusing, in verse 1, chapter 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being." That provokes some thought. It just can't read it and not think about it. But I like John because he was a cousin of Jesus. He lived about 50 years after his brother James was killed because of his preaching. But I think Jesus appointed John because John wants us to know Jesus. He's not interested necessarily in his birth or his resurrection, even though those are part of the scripture, but he wants us to know Jesus as a person who loved us and guided us and will guide us in the future. I think about my own life. When I was about 13 or 14, I was asked by an uncle of mine what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be a farmer. When I was 17, I joined the Air Force because I was going to be drafted anyway, and I wanted to be a jet mechanic. Well, that didn't happen. I ended up being an air conditioning, heating, and refrigeration specialist. Then, unbeknown to me, I ended up getting married, had 3 kids, had 4 grandkids, and 6 grandkids. Or great-grandkids, sorry. The other thing I like about John is he died a natural death, and he's buried somewhere in Turkey. But as I look back over my life, I don't think I decided any of those events. They was made for me. And I think Jesus imparted his wisdom on my life. The only thing that I can absolutely say that I made the decision on was about 15 years ago, I became a pastor. I went to seminary, and the encouragement of another pastor that I went on through. But I think that's the only thing over my lifetime that I have absolutely made the right decision. The other things I had no part in. And life does that to us. Life deals us unexpected events. I don't know how many of you can sit here today and say you are at the life that you expected to be when you was high school. I don't know many people that can say that. My wife, she said that she got a doll a year for Christmas. And she set the dolls in a classroom setting, and she taught the dolls. She became a teacher. Mary Ellen Prater said that to me the other day, that whenever she was a child, she had dolls, and she played as if they was broken arms or broken legs, and she became a nurse. But that doesn't happen to all of us. Very unexpected events. It could have been your path, you could have been guided down a path of uncertainty, or you're going to a college degree, or what it is, but a divorce, a death of a loved one, or a death of a child, or you was laid off from a job that you loved, those events happen in real life, and they can be earth-shattering. You're not alone in your walk through life. Jesus said, and John repeated it in the scripture today, that the Holy Spirit is with you right now. And through the Holy Spirit, you can talk to Jesus. And Jesus walks with you every single moment of your life. So you're not alone. You may feel like you're alone, but you're not alone, because Jesus is there with you. Sometimes events in our life, are sad events, unexpected, but also good events. I remember when Nancy and I went to the same church together, and her and I was in the prayer group that we had, but we didn't really talk to each other. And after my first wife died a few years later, I was driving to Bolivar one day, and this little voice in my head said, "Talk to Nancy." I had never thought about talking to Nancy. And I went to church the next Sunday to go talk to her, but she had three or four men around her. So I had to walk away. So I called her, and we had coffee, and the events happened. But I firmly believe that Jesus Christ put us together. And that's the way you are in your life. In tough decisions, you can be touched by Jesus Christ, and he'll always tell you the truth. The thing I'm trying to say this morning, you may be a good Methodist. You may take communion. You may even been baptized. But unless you let Jesus Christ in your life on a daily basis, you are missing out on a spiritual awakening. You need to have Jesus in your life. The reason one reason we walk away from Jesus is because of our ego. Our ego dictates that we like community. We like to be with other people that think and act like we do. And Jesus is there with us when that doesn't happen. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And your prayers and actions that you take as a Christian are observed by Jesus. You need to reach out for Jesus, to Jesus, to get reinforcement and direction in your life. At this point, I'd like to, as you know, I like to joke around. I'm always embarrassing my wife in public because I'm liable to say anything about her, and a lot of times it's not true at all, but some people believe it. But I want to point out a humorous story about her. She's a God-fearing woman. She would never hurt anybody. And if she hurt somebody, it really bothers her. I can confess to that. My wife, Nancy, is a retired school teacher. She specialized in English and French. So one Friday afternoon, when she was young, inexperienced, in the St. Louis County School District, she had a group of boys, about 25, late on a Friday afternoon. It was hot, waiting on the day to end. And she asked the question, this quotation, quote, "The red scarf lay on the green grass." So she asked, "What's the noun?" Well, after a while, boys enjoy English, you know that. But after a while, one of them got the answer correctly. Then she asked, "What's the verb?" And she called on a particular boy, I don't remember his name. And he thought and thought and thought. And finally he said, "Green." And she yelled at him, "Have you ever greened everything in your life?" As soon as she said it, she was embarrassed, and the school ended. Several years later, she went to the beauty shop. And guess who washed her hair? She said, "Oh, he'll forget that. He won't remember that." And she walked up to the wash basin. And he said, "Mrs. Street, I'll never forget that green thing." She was embarrassed. She apologized. But my point is that you never know what's going to happen to you the next day. And that's why you need Jesus in your life. I know it's a small, humorous indication of what happens, but it can be serious. It can be mind-boggling. I know that Jesus touched me. I know that. And he can touch you. If you'll just let him touch you, he can reach out and satisfy your curiosity, your problems, and build up your strength. You know, our faithfulness in Jesus Christ and God goes from you having faith to God. What does God send to us? He sends to us steadfastness. He will never waver. He will never lie. He will protect you and guide you if you ask him. So are you alone in your life? No, you're not. No, you're not. We like to be in a crowd. We love the relationships. But sometimes solitude is a good thing. Solitude strengthens you. It transforms you. And you have a personal relationship with God at that moment in solitude. God likes you to be in solitude when you talk to him, because he'll listen. He doesn't care about the radio or the TV or the book you're reading. He cares about you and what you ask him. In conclusion today, I just want you to know that I'm happy where I am today. I don't know what happened in the past to make those decisions that as a young man I didn't get to fulfill, but I believe Jesus directed those fulfillments. And I'm happy. I think I've served God well, but I won't know the answer until I get to the eternity. And that's the way you are. You will not know if you've fulfilled God's wishes for you until eternity. But it's work. It's pleasure. It's fulfilling to help somebody else or to help yourself. I talked about Marcia before we announced that we were leaving. Was we going to have another grief group? And I said, well, there's always a room for a grief group. The problem is getting people in the church to recognize that they need a grief group. We had one this last year. I think we had six. And it was very fulfilling to me and Nancy. But I hope that it was fulfilling and it accomplished something with them. So if you're dealing with a problem in your life, no matter what it is, financial, divorce, a death of a loved one, or marriage problems, get with Marcia and set up a grief group. I want to close with the first is Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. We are the oppressed. Society dictated that we were the oppressed. And Jesus is the answer to get you out of the oppressed state. John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. That's all I can say. Trust in God.